There are a lot of stories in this book, and whether they're about success or failure by human standards, they are all about God at work, in a whole variety of different workplaces, in and through a whole variety of people. As I was refreshing this book for its fifth edition, I realized that I could probably replace every one of those stories five times over, except the one about throwing my boss across a New York restaurant. Yes, work in the G20 nations has changed radically. Yes, work continues to change radically and rapidly. People entering today's job market are likely to have 6, 7, 8 entirely different jobs in their working life. And many of the jobs they start out doing won't even exist in 20, 10, 5 years' time. The number of people in the gig economy, the number of people on zero-hour contracts, the number of people working into their 70s is rising. Artificial intelligence is already here, reshaping working practice across pretty much every sector, from transport to law, even counselling. And the robots are coming. Yes, things are changing. But God, the author of work, the infinitely creative, all-powerful God, has not been blindsided by the technological brilliance of those created in his image. He's neither surprised by how much of our work has contributed to human flourishing and alleviated human suffering, nor flabbergasted by the ways that so much of our working practice has done so much damage to the hearts, minds, souls, bodies, and spirits of people, and so much damage to the land, sea, air, and creatures of our planet. Still, God calls his people to work in grubby workshops and dry fields, in the mirror-windowed skyscraper offices of multinationals and the cluttered, converted shipping container workspaces of tech startups. He sends us out in his name, with his authority, to seek to do good work in his ways, to his glory, for the well-being of others. It's a high calling, however lowly the job. But we don't do it alone. We do it with him. There's the joy, doing it with him, asking him to help us see this task, this situation, this person, this organization through his eyes, with his heart. God with us at work. God at work with us. God at work in us. Who knows what he may do in and through you and the talents, resources, opportunities, power that are given to you. Grace and shalom to you in it all. Chapter 1. Into the Lion's Den, or the No-Go Zone. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16. I am a Jewish Christian, and it is the second night of Passover. A group of us are going to celebrate it together in my flat. One of the people coming has prepared a chicken. She brings it to work, and we decide to put it in the fridge in my boss's office. My boss is out that week, but David Ogilvy, the man who founded the company I work for and the world's greatest living ad man, is visiting and using the office off and on. I have wanted to talk to him about God. I have prayed for an opportunity to talk to him about God. But so far, I haven't found either the courage or the opportunity, or the courage to try to create the opportunity. I am very junior, and he is the founder of the world's fourth largest advertising agency. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, I realize it is time to collect the chicken and go and prepare the Passover. I wander round to my boss's office. David Ogilvy is in there talking on the phone. I wait a couple of minutes. The talking stops. He is in there, and he has my chicken. I'm out here, and I have 6 people coming for supper. It's getting late. How should I introduce myself to the founder of the fourth largest advertising agency in the world? Will I be sacked for trying to convert the founder? What should I say to the world's greatest living ad man? Perhaps, "Hello, I've come to collect my chicken." I realize that God is using this dead, half-roasted chicken to force me into David Ogilvy's presence.